I was not this is also in Kotlin. When we started, I was not aware that Dr. Ferreras had had this parameterized. I should have used his data set, but we looked at this differently. And now maybe this would be useful too, because I think you would enjoy this presentation. I would like to start by acknowledging some of my co-authors. Soon to be doctor, very soon hopefully to be doctor, Dr. Gabriella Itzi. A lot of credit for this work should go to her in terms of analysis and synthesis of the data. And we also appreciate having Dr. Pasquale and DeBois, who is the man in charge of the water management group at ICARDA. I joined ICARDA a couple of years ago, and anytime I travel or come here, people say, you know, what is ICARDA? So I think it would be good for me to show a couple of slides on what ICARDA is and what organization and what it does. And it's particularly important to establish the need for modeling. Why are we looking at aquacrop? It's the importance here. Then I talk about drip irrigation or drip irrigated cotton experiment at ICARDA. It's a 3-year study. That's the data we use for aquacrop calibration, evaluation, and sensitivity. I'm not part of the aquacrop the modeling group. I'm part of the testing group and kind of the devil's advocate in a sense to see how this model performs. And then I will conclude. At last. ICARDA is one of the 15 CGIAR centers. These are international agricultural research centers across the globe. And we are located here in Aleppo, Syria. And most of these centers, or all of these centers, have a geographic mandate and some research mandate. ICARDA's geographic mandate is really the subtropical dry areas of the world. And if you look at the subtropical dry areas, most of that is concentrated in what is called West Asia or Middle East, Central Asia, and North Africa. Here is Aleppo. It's an ancient city in northern Syria. That's where ICARDA's headquarters is. We are probably half an hour from Turkey and 2 hours from the Mediterranean. We do have a I would say, true Mediterranean climate. Absolutely no rainfall during summer, but irrigation is a must. And at Aleppo, we get about 350. It's a long-term average rainfall. It all comes from October, November, and it stops by May. That's where the winter cropping systems or the winter crops go in, and our major crops are really wheat and food legumes. The challenges in the dry areas, there are many challenges, but water scarcity and land degradation. And the reason I put this up, if you look at the physical water scarcity, these are the red areas, which just happens to be the area that ICARDA is part of ICARDA's domain. And we have this kind of double-edged sword, because not only we have physical water scarcity in these regions, we also have irrational and wasteful water practices. So sustainability is also an issue. And that's where we are going with some of these modeling activities. Here's a spring in Syria. I'm going to show you a couple of slides about Syria and severity of the water balance problems they have. Syria currently has a water deficit on a national basis. But here's a spring due to impact of over pumping. Here's the typical outdated inefficient delivery. This is an irrigation pumping system. This particular farmer is just basically dumping the water into his cornfield. Here's another example of a suboptimal on-farm irrigation system and practice. So a lot of this adds to the water problems. So the issue of water management is extremely important. Here is a well that we got data for the past 30 years. This well is not too far from my office. It is less than a few hundred meters. And you could see that because of illegal wells, because of irrationalized increase in irrigated agriculture land, this particular well has dropped from negative from 70 to just over 100 meters, almost 1.5 meters per year. Water management research at ICARDA. Our main goal is developing strategies for the more efficient use of limited water supplies. This is basically the recent slogans, you know, more crop per drop type approaches. Our objective At least one of the objectives, main objectives we are pushing, and thanks for, I'm glad I'm following Dr. Ferrer's, because he did talk about the importance of this in the Mediterranean region. We are looking at water rationing, deficit supplementary irrigation, and limited irrigation, and we are also looking at allocation. What I'm interested is allocation in time and space. Maybe I can cut some of the irrigation during summertime, and I'll move this cotton, water from the cotton, and irrigate some of the winter crops that are being rain fed. And we are trying to, I'm glad I heard that there are some significant efforts toward developing these optimization models, and hopefully that would help us. So we are looking at the whole system. Our approach is research and modeling, and that's where we collaborate with FAO on aqua crop to simulate the cotton wheat system. Today I will present some of the cotton. This is a cotton experiment we had at Ricardo. It went on for 3 years. This is a replicated plot experiment under 4 levels of water deficit. So basically we had 2004 to 2006. We had 4 levels of irrigation, 100%, 80, 60, and 40%. We had 3 levels of nitrogen application, 200, 150, and 100. So you could look at probably good, medium, and low. Let's not bother with the nitrogen application. I'm going to just concentrate on 200. It could get, the data set is large, it could get complicated, so let's just forget about nitrogen application at this time for the few following slides. Measurements, we have a lot of measurements daily, obviously climate on-site, soil water profile. We use detailed profile measurements for ET estimation. We had plant growth, and I mentioned, and also some of the work that I try to encourage was more in-season crop water stress measurements. The goal was how can we walk to a field and identify the level of stress. So we have a lot of data on stomata conductance, leaf water potential, and canopy temperature using infrared thermometry. And I'm hoping to get together with model developers and use some of that data, which I have not used here, to adjust some of the stress parameters. Here is this particular cotton was planted first week in May, so this is a month and a half later. And you can see this is 2 weeks after the previous slide, so we do have this rapid growth in cover. This particular plot was 107, is 100%, and N on the bottom, 200 kilogram of nitrogen. Here is one example of our access tube and an ancient neutron probe that we have been using. This is a typical, I put all the irrigation, or I should say soil water profiles, that to show you that it is critical when you estimate soil water balance to get your leaching correct. And in this particular case, we don't think we have a lot of leaching happening. This is, we are starting on the right-hand side at the beginning of the season, and as you irrigate, the soil water profile gradually moves to the left. So we end up with pretty much a dry profile. So we could have a small unit gradient on the bottom, but we don't think that's... Here's the effect of irrigation on growth. Here's a 40%, this is 4th of August. We should be at about full canopy by now. Here's a 60%, the slightly more biomass you could see, and also taller. The first one, 60 centimeter, moved to 75. For 80%, I could see more cover, and 100%, obviously, we're very close to 100% cover. So we move from 60 centimeter height to almost 95 centimeter height. So the effect of irrigation on growth is definitely there. And it was important for me to show this. Now we move to the calibration or parameterization. And I did something that may be probably not wise, but it was important because this model, as was stated previously this morning, is supposed to have a worldwide appeal. It's supposed to be used in areas where there's limited water, limited data. And so we say, okay, let's see if we can push this model as far as we can. Let's just use limited calibration for cotton and then evaluate the model for other stress conditions. So we took one set of data for 2006, which was 100% irrigation with 200 kilogram of nitrogen, and we calibrated the model, which I will explain in the next slide. And then we say, okay, now we're going to freeze this model as is right here, And we're going to test the deficit irrigation 40, 60, and 80% in 2006. And then we're going to go a step further and also expose the same model to test all irrigations in 2004 and 2005. This was explained before. I have 4 minutes, so I'm going to move forward. I'd just like to highlight for those of you who are going to use this model, I'm extremely pleased with the input data files. I think they're very straightforward, very easy to handle. But the particular one is the crop file. If you're going to spend any efforts on this model, that's where all the knobs are, so that's where I will concentrate from. Rest of it is basically input file. Crop water productivity, we had to come up with a slope for this. Basically, in our run, we looked at only two parameters. I should say three. The last one is not very important. So we did minimal that we had to do to get this model run and see how the results are. We looked at the stress coefficients. We did not bother with the stress levels, whether it's going to be 0.5 or 0.7 for senescence or leaf expansion. We just say that I think one of the beauties of this model is you could just pick a category. And if you look at FAO 33, the old version or the original version, it calls cotton tolerant to water stress. So if you pick that category, it automatically sets the stress levels. So we say at this time, we don't know better, so let's just go with this. And the last one, as I said, is not important, so I move forward. Now, crop water productivity, there is an equation. Really, in the denominator, you need a sum of transpiration per ETO. But we didn't have transpiration, although we can calculate. So we did a regression of biomass versus cumulated normalized ET, and that's the relationship we get. If we just use for 2006 the 100% irrigation, since that's our calibration, we get a water productivity value of 19, and that's what we use. So this value was frozen for rest of the runs. Here's the calibration result again. We did nothing to calibrate for ET, but you could see the black line is our measure values, and the yellow are and it was quite impressive that how the model was able to follow the trend. And here is again another version of simulated versus measured. Here is our canopy cover for cotton. You could see the measured and predicted are this is really a good the simulation. Here we had problem here in this. We can't get it bent here correctly and to go up. And so we need the help of model developers. But again, these are early runs, and we are just getting a feel for this particular model. Let's look at ET. Here is a calibration for 100%, and the model was frozen at that point. And then we move on to the 80%. So here is our simulated ET versus measured. And here's a 60% and 40%. And you can see that that there's a slight overprediction in all three cases. But I wasn't so interested in, at this stage of the game, of small percentages. Or I was interested, is this model going the right direction? And is this model has potential for what I wanted to do? And I think we were happy. I have one more minute, and I'm going to move with the biomass. So here are the predictions. You could see moving from 80% to 60% to 40%. Again, there are some differences, but overall, the trend is there. And that's the take-home message here from me. The trend is there, and that's the main thing. Because I don't intend to use this model for predictive purposes. My intention is for comparative purposes. And so I'm going to skip, since I have 1 minute. Okay, this is the ET. This is all irrigations, all nitrogen rates, and all years, measured versus predicted. So if you look at all the data, overall, I think in terms of ET is a highly robust model, in my opinion. And when it comes to this is the yield. And you can see that the blue ones are the low nitrogen, and the green and the yellow are the high nitrogen. So you can see here, at least I'm parallel to the one-to-one line. So the model with this very limited parameterization was able to grab the one-to-one line. And although things are not perfect, but I think the trend is there. So to me, sounds like I need to summary. Do I have 50 seconds?
Yeah.
30 seconds. Okay. Results. I think this was the first exposure, our exposure to the model. Aqua crop was sensitive to differential irrigation. Variability was greater in biomass, parameterization. This is the important. This is my last slide. Thank you. From a user perspective, what did I see? I saw ease of setup, run, rerun, and access to output. That's very important when you do modeling. Limited parameters to adjust, useful default values and categories. I really like that. I don't have to. Sometimes the user doesn't even know what is the stress level for senescence, for example. And you could pick a category. I think the model has research and practical utility. We think the model has the potential to do irrigation rationing and allocation. And I think these are some of the needs or our suggestions to the model developers. One, I think there is a need for, we need some guidelines for calibration. So the user doesn't wonder out, you know, what should I adjust next? I think that's very important. Need to freeze and hide difficult to determine parameters. I think this is, I heard from other developers that are planning to do that. So this was a test model that gave me and further development of the user interface. I know a lot of that has been done. So
thank you.
With that, I...
thank you.